From the headquarters of Team Cowboy, coming to you all the way from Anderson, South Carolina, this is the Finance Cowboy Show, where we're going to teach you how you can create your dream life through the greatest asset in the world, real estate. I'm your host, Jaron Sustar, and I went from having zero properties in 2018 to a portfolio of over $5 million worth of real estate by 2021, and I am excited to be able to teach you all the lessons, tips, and tricks that I have learned throughout my journey while also introducing you to some of the greatest real estate minds in this entire world. So without further ado, let's get this party started. You want to get rich in your 20s, but the cost of living is the highest it's ever been. Home prices are the highest they've ever been. Interest rates are in the 7 to 8% range when just a few years they were 2 to 3%. Employers haven't raised pay to keep up with the level of inflation. And millennials and Gen Zers have some of the largest amounts of debt coming into their 20s than anybody has ever seen. So you have two decisions that you can make. Number one, you can say, woe is me. Oh, pitiful me. I can't do anything with my life. I'm going to be stuck where I'm at forever. Or you can say, you know what? This isn't going to be the easiest thing I've ever done, but it's going to be worth it. And I want you guys to think about it. Who becomes rich in their 20s? Hardly anybody. So what does that tell you? If you want to become rich in your 20s, guess what? It's going to be hard, because if it were easy, everybody would do it. And so if you're going to do it, there's a chance it's going to be a lonely journey. You're going to have to work hard. You're going to have to be different. And like my dad used to say all the time when I was younger, you're going to have to pay now so you can play later. Because if you decide to play now, guess what? You're going to have to pay later. So if you guys would help me pay now so that my YouTube can grow later, click like on this video, subscribe to my channel, and then share this video with somebody in your friend group if you're in your 20s, or if you're older and watching this, send this to somebody, your kids, your nephews, somebody at church, whoever it is, that could help them set themselves up for success earlier in life so that they can learn these lessons now, implement them, and then be better off for it later. Because let me tell you guys something, the power of compound is real. And for those of you who are okay with delayed gratification, with putting in the hard stuff now, your life is going to get substantially easier from the financial aspect over time, because wealth compounds and it tends to happen pretty quickly. And just in case you guys think I'm just some random dude talking about this with any experience, that's not the case. Today, I am 32 years old, but I started on my financial freedom journey at 22 and became quote unquote rich by 29. My wife and I hit the $1 million net worth mark at 29 in the year 2020, and we were ecstatic. Now, is $1 million the most money in the world? No. Are there people who get there faster and do a lot more than we have? Sure. But there are more people who, number one, never get there, or it takes them way later in life. They don't hit it till they're 60, 70, 75, and then they can't even enjoy the things that they want to enjoy. So I have a little bit of experience here, and I'm going to walk you guys through the seven key things that I learned that helped me to become rich in my 20s. So the first one is stay out or get out of bad debt. Little backstory on me. My entire goal in life when I was younger was to play Division I baseball. I was able to achieve that goal by going and playing at this small mid-major school called Charleston Southern University. The way baseball works at mid-major schools, at the time, I think we had 9 scholarships total that the coaches could give out. Well, baseball fields a 40-man roster. So it's not like football where these guys are getting full rides to play sports. You were only getting a portion. And I think I got somewhere, I'd have to go back and look, around 40 to 45% scholarship. But the school I went to, Charleston Southern, was a private school and was very expensive. So we're talking probably $30,000, $35,000 a year. So a portion of my school is covered, but the other portion wasn't. And we didn't have money saved for school. And my dad, if you don't know my story, is a pastor. I was raised in a great home, loving parents, but money just wasn't a big topic for us. Definitely weren't talking about investments. And when it came to me going to college, if I was going to come out without any debt, it was going to be because of scholarships, whether academic or athletic or a combination of both. Well, I graduated with a 2.6 GPA. So the academic scholarships out the window. Only had a little bit of help from school. So I get to my graduation day. I'm enjoying my 4 years. Wouldn't have changed them for anything. Not really paying attention to the money I'm racking up. Graduate, and guess what? I'm hit with a $1,000 student loan bill. You can fact check me, Market Watch, did a piece on my financial journey and my real estate investing. And I actually had to pull all of the debt that I'd ever paid off in my life and show it to them for this financial audit. It was crazy. I'll put the link down in the show notes. You can check it out. But I started behind the eight ball, 22 years old, $65,000 in debt. Well, I'm from South Carolina. You got to have a jacked up truck. So what do you think the next thing is that I did? I went and bought a $25,000 F-150 that had nice tires and a lift kit on it. Great. Then I needed to get married. So I bought a $2,500 engagement ring. Then we're living above our means. So I racked up $10,000, $15,000 on a credit card. Here I am, 22, 23 years old, just graduated college, making $45,000 a year, and I have over $100,000 in debt. I've been there. I've been at the crossroads where you're either going to say, I'm going to just cave and I'm going to do what everybody else does, or I'm going to decide to be different. And so we knew that if we were going to have a financial future, freedom, get rich in our 20s, it had to start with paying off debt. Do I want to invest? Of course, that's where the wealth comes from. But if you try to invest while being bogged down with consumer debt, I equate it to like trudging through quicksand. You think you're taking one or two steps forward, but in reality, it just pulls you back in and you can never get out. So what you have to do is you have to attack it to get out of it. Now, those of you who aren't in debt, you got out of college without debt, or you didn't go to college, you don't have any debt, stay out of it. And I'll talk about that more. But for those of you who are in debt, here's the game plan that we use. So we were living in South Florida right after we got married. We were at this church one evening and this bald charismatic man was speaking, and he gave this whole pitch about money and controlling your money a biblical way. And then he gave a pitch at the end to buy his Financial Peace University for $70. Well, the guy ended up being Dave Ramsey. He's a pretty well-known fella. I obviously follow him well now, but I didn't know who he was at the time. But what he taught was very simple and it works. Now, he's got these seven baby steps. I won't walk through all of them. But initially he says, all right, get a small emergency fund in place, and then we're going to go work on what we call the debt snowball method. And what we did and what Dave teaches is you take your smallest debt and you start paying on it while just making minimum payments to all your other debts. So just minimum payments on those other debts, let's attack that first one. Once we pay that first smaller debt off, we're going to take the money that we were using to pay that debt off, plus the money it freed up, and we're going to roll it into the next largest debt. And we're going to continue that until we get all of our debt paid off. The reason we do it that way and we don't attack the biggest one first is because money is very behavioral. It's very psychological. And so if we're going to attack this large debt first and we're not getting anything paid off, we oftentimes will feel like we're not really making a dent. We're not moving the needle. But when we do the snowball method, you're continually getting small wins, and it builds that momentum. And if you stay focused and you don't deviate, you will get that debt paid off. Again, it took us 5 years to get over $100,000 paid off. 5 years. But I will tell you, as I talk about the rest of my journey later, it was totally worth it. And for those of you who hadn't got into debt, stay out. Don't go get the credit cards. Don't go get the TJ Maxx card, the Dick's Sporting Goods card. Stay away, stay debt-free, and you're going to put yourself in a position to be able to gain wealth while you're in your 20s. The second thing is be careful who you take advice from. Now, I am from a small southern town. I have tons of blue-collar friends. I love them. I love everything about them. But a lot of them have what I call a middle-class mindset. They're stuck in middle class. They want to work their low-paying, blue-collar job forever, work Monday through Friday, look forward to the weekends, and do it all over again. That's okay if that's your prerogative, but you're watching this video because you want more. That's not where you want to be. So do you think that it's a good idea to go taking advice from your friends or your family? Yes, could be your mom, could be your dad. When it comes to financials, if they are not in the financial position that you want to be in, here's a good rule to live by. Take advice from people who are where you want to be. And that can be in different topics. So I'm not saying neglect the people in your life who aren't doing well financially. Go get advice from them in their expertise. But don't go listening to Uncle Joe, who's got $400 in savings, nothing in an investment account, who's telling you, well, don't do this with your money and don't invest in this because it's risky. Joe has no idea what he's talking about. So you want to take that advice from folks who have been there. You want to hang out and learn from the people who have the large real estate portfolios, who flip houses, who build houses, who invest in the stock market, who start and build businesses, who have been able to reach wealth. in their 20s like myself and carry that on into their 30s and 40s and 50s. Because if you take the wrong advice and you apply it, it's going to deviate you from where you want to go. And it may take you a while before you figure out you're not doing the right thing, and then you have to backtrack and start all over again. Third thing we want to do is we want to gain work experience as early and as often as possible. You're probably not going to land your dream job right out of college or right out of high school, or maybe for the first 3 to 5 years of working, and that's okay. Understand that you are going to learn skills, that you are putting yourself into environments to understand how the world of business works. Don't pigeonhole yourself to a certain position because you think that's what you want to do forever. I got news for you. You have no idea what you want to do. Hate to break it to you. Even if you're going to a degree to be a teacher, or you're going to be a nurse, or you're going to be a dentist, I can think of all of those professions, people in those professions that I know personally right now, that's what I want to do. My mom and dad did it. My grandpa did it. Everybody tell me I'd be good at it. They thought they wanted to do it. Schooling doesn't give you the actual experience of real life. They go and they hate it and they drop out. They spend all this time to become a teacher and they quit. They spend all this time to become a dentist and they quit. They spend all this time to become a nurse and they quit. So instead of just focusing on what you think is going to be your dream life, let's focus on getting work experience and putting ourselves in environments so that we can gain skills that we're going to be able to apply later that's going to help us increase our income, which leads me to number four. Once we've inundated ourselves in the working world, we've got some experience, you need to learn how to sell. Now, some of you right now, you introverts, you're cringing. I don't want to sell. Sales is sleazy. Sales sounds scary. Listen, you're selling people all day, every day without even knowing it. Selling is just being able to persuade people essentially to get what you want. Now, the thing about as you become better in sales is you have to make sure that you're doing it ethically, because you can become a very powerful persuader. And then there's people who go and do bad things with it. We don't want to do that. I'm not teaching you to do that. What I am telling you to do is you need to learn that skill of persuasion. As you progress in life and in your job and into your later 20s and into your 30s and 40s, knowing how to sell, how to build quick trust with people, knowing how to sell is going to be what allows you to make a lot of money. Okay, so what is sales? So that everybody has a good understanding of what it is, so they don't just write it off. Sales is, number one, being able to build quick trust with people. Getting people to trust you quickly. So you walk into an office with somebody, you walk into a meeting, and you're able to make a fast connection. It can be something as simple as they got a picture of their family in the room and you have a family, you make that connection. They've got a degree from a school that you have a relation to. They pool for the same sports teams. You can find out that you both like Ford Mustangs. I mean, whatever. The key is make that connection, build that trust fast. Once we have that trust, then we just start figuring out, what do you need? What do you want? How can I give that to you? It's really that simple. Now, there's a lot of tactics that you can learn to become better at it and be smoother with it and convince more people to buy what they need and want from you instead of other people. But if you just go into this knowing, I need to learn how to build trust fast with folks, and I need to understand what they want and need, and then figure out a way that I can deliver it to them. I was told early on that you will get paid for the amount of value that you bring to the world. Now, it's hard to understand that as a W-2 employee because you're really capped, right? You're going to get paid for whatever the company thinks that you're worth, but they're going to get the top end of that for the value that they're providing to the world. And that's okay when we start. But as you progress and you want to start doing things on your own to really increase that income, number one, you got to be able to create the value that we're going to sell to people. But then if you have something that's valuable, but nobody knows about it, guess what? You don't have anything. Picture this. You're ready to put an offer on the perfect investment property, but then you hit a wall. Financing. Dealing with hard money lenders is the biggest headache us real estate investors have. And I thought that's just how hard money had to be until I met Backflip. Backflip is totally different. They're changing hard money by making loans actually stress-free. And I know this firsthand because I personally use them for my own deals. It's the perfect combo of tech and real people. Their free app makes everything more efficient, and every loan is personalized to what matters to you, be it low interest, high leverage, or zero payments until you sell or refi. And while other lenders just write a check and forget about you, Backflip has been a true partner for my business. Call them anytime with any question. Even if you don't borrow for them, you can use their app to pull comps and estimate profits. Discover the backflip difference at backflip.mobi/financecowboypod. And so you want to put yourself in a sales position to learn the sales skill, but also sales tends to pay a lot in the working world as well. So if you're working for a company, learning that skill, you're going to have the opportunity to increase your income above most positions while adding a valuable tool to your toolkit for the rest of your life. Fifth thing that I can't stress enough is having a side gig. Ever since I have started working, I've had a side gig. The first side gig that I can think of is I used to go and take pictures of end caps for Google to prove that companies had their products sitting in places like CVS and Walgreens like they said they did. And I'd go take these pictures and do these scans of rooms and get paid $25 from Google. The next, I can remember when I was working at CentOS, we had like these four-day work weeks where we'd work 12 hours for 4 days, and then we'd have a day off during the week, and my day off was Tuesday. And so I found this little fruit delivery company. I was working in Charleston, South Carolina at the time, and they were based out of Charlotte, and they needed somebody to deliver in Charleston. Well, guess what? I started delivering in Charleston, and the team started growing. And wouldn't you know it, as the team grew, because I was one of the ones early on and understood the system, well, then I was in charge of managing all the other drivers just as a side gig. What happened there? Well, there was a lot of headache because I didn't know how to manage people. But guess what? I got my first taste of managing people. And you start learning, okay, this worked, this didn't work. I remember I've read books on this. What I'm applying from that book doesn't necessarily work in this scenario, but this principle that I learned does. And you start figuring out how to work with people and manage, or whatever the case may be, depending on the side gig. I remember when I was in pharmaceutical sales down in Jacksonville, Florida, I started a pressure washing business on the side. I've sold hospital software on the side. When I got into my medical device sales, I started doing real estate on the side, and that's turned into its own business itself. The whole point of a side gig is this. Look, there's not a ton of side gigs early on that are going to make you a lot of money. I hate to break it to you. Anybody who's promising you that, I would almost say they're lying. Can you hit the jackpot early on and make a lot of money on your first or second side gig? Sure, I'm sure there's stories of that. But I would tell you the majority of folks, and what you need to go into it with the mindset of having is, okay, this side gig may not be the key to my riches or my wealth. But what it's going to do is it's going to put me in environments and situations that are going to teach me lessons that are going to prepare me for the thing that's coming that's going to change my life. And so I can look at my life today, this brand, Finance Cowboy, that I've started. Do you understand how many businesses and scenarios I've been in before this one stuck and has been successful? Countless. Pressure washing, delivering the fruit, taking pictures for CVS, selling software. And there's some that I'm leaving out that just aren't coming to my brain right now. But the whole point is they all taught me lessons that led me to where I am today. And so you may not see that return on investment immediately from that particular side gig. It's okay. Don't get down. Don't kick yourself. Don't get frustrated. Count it as a W, because somebody who's been through the fire, who's been through the trenches, is kind of on the other side of sitting in a pretty good spot financially. Let me tell you something. The nuggets are found in the journey. When you reach the destination, yeah, it's great. It is fantastic to have a large real estate portfolio and income coming in and being able to flip houses and make six figures per year and having a brand that produces seven figures. I mean, it is amazing. It's great. But the joy and the nuggets are all found in the journey along the way. And don't forget that. And if you keep that in mind, it will make it enjoyable, because I think a lot of people, especially if you're real driven and you're young, you want to get to where you want to go so fast that you can live with an escape mentality. And that's no way to live. You will waste years of your life trying to escape where you're at to get to this golden rainbow, and you can live in misery. And if you live a life of misery and you become miserable, guess what? When you have the things that you want, you're still going to be miserable. And so don't create those habits. Enjoy the journey, be grateful, and take everything you do, whether you win or you fail, as a learning experience and build upon it. The sixth thing that's very hard for young people to do and old people is avoid lifestyle inflation. As you progress on this journey, you're going to make more money. If you're driven, if you go down the path that I've said, you're doing side gigs, you're learning how to sell, you're constantly trying to increase your income, you are going to have more money than you once had before. Where people go wrong is when they have more money, guess what they do? They spend it. And so they don't really have more money. They've just increased their lifestyle. I see it over and over again. Listen, the wealth is going to come from this spread that you have. Income is the fuel that is going to dictate how fast you generate life-changing wealth. But if you eat away that income with dumb lifestyle things, consumer debt, huge trips all the time, wasting money on the weekends at bars and at restaurants, guess what? You've done nothing for yourself to be able to deploy that money to allow you to be rich in your 20s. We live in a recreational town here in South Carolina, and I know fellas who make a decent income. Let's call it 150 plus. Now, for me, when I hit 150, the first year I hit it, it was life-changing for us because we got rid of our debt and we kept our expenses the same. And so that was the first year that we started our journey to financial freedom, getting rich in our 20s. So many of these guys and gals that I live around, they're doing pretty good income-wise, but then they're taking that income and they're going and they're getting a brand new truck for $80,000, literally half of their income. And they're having monthly payments. Then they've got to get their old sports car that they got monthly payments on. Then they got to go and get their pontoon boat for the lake because everybody's got to have a boat. Well, then that boat comes with expenses and it just keeps racking up and their wife goes and they have all these cars out at these different stores. And the next thing you know, this dude who's making 150 grand is living paycheck to paycheck. And I know you're sitting there thinking, oh, I would never do that. That's insane. Yeah, they said that at one time too. And so you have to be very coherent and very aware of what your money is doing. That's why a budget is so important, because we can literally know exactly what's coming in, what's going out, and make adjustments to increase that spread of income and expenses. So then we can use this middle ground to go dump it into, which is number seven, the best asset in the world, which is real estate. When you get to the point to where you have no consumer debt, you've got an emergency fund in place of 3 to 6 months, and now you have additional income coming in after all expenses are taken care of, and you have that spread, it's time to put that money to work. You cannot build wealth without investing your money. I just did a video on this. You can check it out here. We'll put it up, that talks about the opportunity cost and how you will lose a boatload of money by just putting it into a savings account and not investing it. Now understand, we work very hard for our money. And so when we get it, we want to protect it. We don't want it to go anywhere. But I got news for you, friends. You're robbing from your future self. I always tell folks it's riskier, and I'm a big real estate guy. I say it's riskier for your future to not invest in real estate than it is to invest in real estate. It's riskier for your future to not invest, we can use the broad term invest, than it is to invest. Because I can guarantee no returns when you're just putting money into a savings account. Inflation's going to eat that alive. Your purchasing power is going to stay the same while the cost of goods continue to go up. So we have to take this nest egg that we have, not our emergency fund, but all the excess money that we have, and go deploy it into assets that are continuing to increase and that are going to compound over time so that we can demolish inflation. And so to give you an idea of the power of investing, and I'm going to tell you it from my perspective, and I use real estate. Real estate is the most powerful form of investing for a number of reasons. You have leverage. You can use other people's money to buy property. You can buy an ugly property and make it pretty, and now it's worth way more instantly. That's called forced appreciation. Over time, it's going to appreciate in value based on historical data. We're going to get cash flow every month. So once we get our rents and pay off our expenses, any money that's left over comes into our wallet. We're going to get a ton of tax benefits to pay less to Uncle Sam, which is always amazing. And then we have tenants doing what's called principal buy down. Okay, so we've bought this money using somebody else's money. So we've leveraged somebody else's money. And then we're going to get a renter in place and they're going to pay off the debt for us. It's crazy. It's a literal cheat code. So my wife and I bought our first two rentals in 2018. Right. And, you know, I was like, this is pretty good. Like, I'm excited. I'm a landlord. It's the first time I've bought anything that pays me back. It's crazy. I'm providing great quality housing for the community. But 2 years not going to cut it. We have got to scale this thing. And so we learned how to partner with other people and use other people's money. And we scaled our portfolio to 21 or 22 units, one of the two, by 2019. So we bought 19 or 20 additional units the following year. And if you remember earlier, we hit the $1 million net worth mark in 2020. That's how fast it happened for us. We went and bought properties in 2018 and 2019 at a discount, fixed them up. We bought properties in 2018, 2019 at a low discount. They were in ugly, bad shape, fixed them up. So now they're worth way more, but our mortgage is down here and our tenants started paying our mortgage down while the property's going up in value. And so that spread creates what's called a net worth, your assets minus liabilities. And the next thing you know, we're 29 years old. And because we had been aggressive with investing our money, we became millionaires by 29. And guess what? Once you hit that million, it's the hardest to get to. Compound interest starts to do its thing. And so it took us, you know, call it whatever, 8 years to pay off debt and invest and become millionaires. Well, within a year and a half after becoming millionaires, what do you think we hit? The $2 million mark. And then how quickly do you think the $2 million is going to turn to $4 million and $4 million to $8 million? And it starts to compound really, really, really quickly. That's going to be the key to you becoming rich in your 20s and beyond, is taking the income that you earn, increasing it as much as you possibly can, and then putting it into assets like real estate. So if you're at the point to where you're like, dude, I want to start investing in real estate, I've got everything else knocked out, there's a link down below, tells you exactly what I do to help folks. You're more than welcome to apply to work with us. But if you're like, dude, I'm not at that point yet, like I am young 20s, I'm ready to get started, follow this blue. It's the same exact one that I used, and it worked for me. It'll work for you. You'll look back when you're hitting 30, when you're hitting 40, when you're hitting 50, you'll say, dang, I am so glad that I paid then, because now I can play and do whatever I want to now.